Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 193 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is program number 295. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program. You can receive a CD or a tape, audio tape copy. And just have a paper and pencil ready and or a pen and write down program 295 just in case you want a copy of it. And if I were you, I would, because you want to hear it over and over again. Because the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. We have some singing tonight. We've got some testimonies. We've got Bible reading and a power-packed message from the throne of God. So right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to anoint this service. Father, we thank you and praise you, holy, holy God, God Almighty, for the invite to talk with you, to communicate with you to the throne, and for you to talk to us. We need to be silent when you're talking to us, because the important thing is not so much, not what we're saying, but what you tell us to do and what you're telling us from your throne. Lord, we pray the most important thing today is that the media is now calling, just like Hitler's Germany. This is the second run by the Vatican to win world power. You stated that these things would happen in the last days. The first Nazi regime, the Third Reich, was a test run. But this is the real thing, what's happening today, Father, as you know. And what it is they're getting together this democracy thing, which is nothing but dictatorship, and they're getting all the people of the world together. Let's have a huge mob to get everybody to believe that there's a invincible Germany. Well, that didn't work, and so now they're saying, let's get an invincible world power. No one will be able to come against this world power. But they forget about you, Father. Now, all the Christians need to get together. We are the real Christians I'm talking about. I'm not talking about all religions, because that's the last thing that the Lord wants to happen, Father, is that all the religions get together, because 99% of them, 99 9/10% of them are false. Denominations are not what it is. We must be born again of your spirit. And all the born-again Christians must aid one another, as the church did in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament. But we know the main thing is to be with you, because if God be with me, and if God be with you, who could be against us? The world government? The world satanic cult in Rome? No. Or the news media? No. None of these, because God, Father, we know and we ask you that you'll put a swift end to anyone that is not going to be saved, whose names are never going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who have band themselves together as a world power under the same idea of what Nazi Germany did. And they burned down the number one, like the White House in Germany. It's called the Reichstag building or something like that. I don't speak German. To make it look like somebody from Poland did it, which caused all the people in the nation of Germany to say, we have to stick together. Well, they did the same thing with the World Trade Center. And now it's just history repeating itself. Now we all have to get together and stand against all this stuff, what's happening now, and sending the 21,000 troops over to Iraq. This is not anything that's really coming from Bush, but they want you to believe that to take the heat. Bush is a smokescreen. He's not that bright, and he's not that positive to be calling these shots. He knows that he has to be steadfast, Father, in order for him to stay alive, because he knows the viciousness of the Vatican and that they'd kill him if he agreed with me and told who it was, the real problem in this world, if he told on the Vatican. He's swore to secrecy if he could just become president. And now, Father, that he is president, he's in a catch-22 situation. He's between a rock and a hard place. He knows the wickedness of the Vatican. He's not a born-again Christian. He'd probably like to be, but the Vatican will not let him. He'd burn at the stake or be killed instantly if he didn't take the heat away from the Vatican. He doesn't want to send those 21 troops, the 100 or 1,000 troops over there, 21,000 troops to Iraq. But it's the Vatican that's telling him to do it, because the Vatican has now been exposed so much that there's so much heat on the Vatican, Father, that they are doing everything in their power. They're saying, let's all band together. Come on, like we did in Germany. But did Germany win the war? No. Father, and will this world power win the war? This war? This is not a war against the terrorists. The terrorists are the ones that are saying it's a war of terrorists. What this is a war against the United States people and the people all over the world. This is Satan's battle against the people in the world. And the Jews especially, and we born-again Christians especially. And so all born-again Christians, those of you that hear my voice, pass it along to all born-again Christians to pray that God will destroy the Antichrist, because the Bible says that he will destroy the Antichrist in the book of Daniel. And Lord, we ask that you do this. Destroy the works of Satan in the mighty name of Jesus, that souls will be saved and the church will be strengthened and have so much confidence in you that they'll never waver, that they'll become red hot instead of lukewarm, so that you don't spoon out of your mouth, Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now, H.B. Barnum is my favorite arranger and director, and he has I'm playing these records because H and I have been doing business back and forth. We've been together in the music industry for so many years that H doesn't want me to tell his age, so I can't say how many years it is. He keeps insisting that he's around 29 or something like that. And that, well, you know, well, you just have to tell. People say he doesn't age. All right. But anyway, he has a wonderful choir, and he's, to me, the best director and producer of music in the world, one of the very best. And especially now he got saved, and he's into the Christian move, and he's our director at our church, and you can get a copy of an album by him for a love gift of $15. It's tax deductible. And this song is called Moving Up to Higher Ground with the Life Choir, conducted, and I believe the song is written by HB also. He's a great songwriter. Go ahead, play it.
He had put his trust in the Father.
And God did not let him down. When you put your trust in the Father's hand, you're moving up to higher ground. People laugh at Noah, said that he was acting strange. But God had told Noah, that the weather was gonna change. So two by two into the ark they came, and God did not let them drown. When the waters came, they were in God's hand, they were moving up to higher ground,
that we might serve him. By his Spirit.
Up to higher ground, yeah. So take all of your burdens, he'll help to lay them down. Just put your trust in the Father, he can always be found. Put it in the Father's hand and move on up to higher ground.
His truth, his power.
Go! They put their trust in the Father and he's pulling through.
Okay, that's H.B. Barnum's Life Choir. And again, if you'd like a LP of it or a CD, with this particular record, it's like a $15 love offering, and it's tax deductible. So the Lord's power, His strength, His spirit, that's all power belongs to Jesus. All wisdom and power belongs to Him in heaven and on earth. God must have the very first and the very best of your time. We were allotted a certain amount of time, a dispensation of time. Time started at the creation of this world a little over 6,000 years ago, and all of us have a dispensation of time. And you know, we're born and then we grow up and then we have a dispensation of time for fellowship with the Lord. Without His fellowship, your preaching and labor will not have power at all. Not here on earth. Not here on earth or anywhere. But here on earth, I may spend my time for making money, if I wanted to be foolish, or the learning, all different types of worldly things, which I receive in exchange for my money. A lot of people spend a lot of money to go to college, universities, and learn how to be perverts and all sorts of other things. They make acquaintances so they can make some money. Or a person could take their money, or money that people have donated to churches like Pat Robertson, to run for president of the United States. And again, he stated, "I don't want to be called a minister any longer." What kind of a person is that? And people, you know, still ask him questions. People have to be positive. They can't, you know, one day be. Then as soon as he lost the election, he stated, before that he said, "I'm going to be president of these here United States of America." Then all of a sudden, when he lost, he said, "I'm a minister." Isn't that double-minded? Wouldn't that nauseate you? I don't know how many followers he has, but I wouldn't think it would be many if they knew all these things. The minister can exchange his time for the divine life of power and the spiritual blessings to be obtained from heaven, or they can just get involved in things like Pat Robertson and the people of the world today, and many, many, many other ministers, they do the same. So spending time, the dispensation of time that we have here on earth, we should spend that time to receive spiritual blessings and obtain the power of God from heaven. That and nothing else makes us man of God or a woman of God, and ensures that our preaching will be in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God and the power of God, that we attain by living close to Him, praying long time before the throne with Him in the name of Jesus. Let's everyone pray for Pat Robertson and people like that, that they straighten up, because there's such a bad testimony to the gospel. Susie used to say about some of these ministers that were like him, they had that heritage village. They were just up there with these metal hats on. She says, "Tony, one of these days, these people, Pat Robertson and Jim Baker and his wife, are going to give such a black eye to the gospel. And all the people that are really of the Lord are going to suffer for it." Let's pray for Pat Robertson because he keeps making false predictions all the time as well. And I'm not being facetious at all about praying for him. We need to pray for people that are using the television media to say these things. And it really is giving us a bad name, as Susie said, and a bad name to Christianity all over the world. People laugh at people who make predictions and they don't come to pass. The Bible tells us that a sign of a true prophet is that when they prophesy and it comes to pass, then that's a prophet. But if they prophesy and it doesn't come to pass, then don't listen to that prophet because he's a false prophet. All right, so we have some a testimony or two. How many do we have to? We have hundreds of them, but we're only able, because of the message tonight, we only have time for one or two. How many did
two
I say?
Huh?
Two. All right, go ahead.
Okay, from Roseland, New Jersey. Thank Tony for making the world a better place and giving people hope, happiness, and direction.
Right, now that's short and sweet. Then the next.
From Corcoran, California. Dear Brother Tony, may the power of God be with you. I pray that you are well. I read your article in the Sacramento Bee newspaper, headlined Difficult Mountain. I was very impressed on how the Lord has used you for this message. I would like to be put on your mailing list for literature to share with inmates here in prison. I think it would be effective here. I am a Christian brother, and any and all material needs to be spread upon the world. I've been saved since April 4th, 2004. I'm a sold-out soldier for Christ. Amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Your brother David from Corcoran, California.
Well, praise the Lord, and God bless you as well. Amen. Okay, we could talk. Let's look into the life of the Apostle Paul. And he gives us some direction in regard to praying and staying before the Lord. He said, quote, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ," unquote. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul the Apostle prayed a lot for the people of the Lord, which were his congregation. We need to pray before we read. I was telling my son, Sion, he wants to study with me, and I told him, sure, you know, because he wants to learn how to study, and I was telling him that the way to study is to pray first before you study. And then ask the Lord, do you want me to study in the Old Testament or the New Testament? And when you ask him something like that, he'll either, there's like a tightening in your chest if it's a no, and then it's a flowing if it's a yes. And I always say, okay, Lord, if it's the New Testament, is it going to be in the first five chapters that you want me to, first five books of the New Testament? And he may say no, and I say the second five books, and he may say yes. And that's how I narrow it down. And then I say, okay, is it the sixth chapter? And he may say yes or no, or, and if he says no, I'll go to, is it the seventh or the eighth or the ninth or the tenth? But as soon as he tells me what chapters is, then I say, okay, I start reading it, and I sometimes it's just as, I don't feel any anointing on it, but then at the last two or three verses, then all of a sudden the Spirit comes thundering down from the kingdom of heaven, and I know, oh my God, this is like I've got a whole message there from just one verse. And I say, thank you, Father God, thank you and praise you, Jesus, for giving this to me. And many times it has been things that I've never heard before. I've never heard it. He gave me the verse in the book of Revelation of what the seven thunders meant, and nobody knows that except when I got it, I put it on tape. And many other things such as that. So we need to pray before we read, and then with great calmness, so that we are able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, that we may have great meditation in the Lord. Oh, I love when the Holy Spirit's coming down when I'm meditating and asking Him the fullness of the scriptures that I'm reading. So, quote, night and day, Paul says, praying exceedingly that we, might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Then there's a space there, The Lord make you to increase, to the end, He may establish your hearts. He wants your hearts to be an establishment. Now, the Lord doesn't want you to just be a little shack, because He wants to live it. He wants you to be a tabernacle, a huge mansion, and a huge estate. And that's why sometimes the walls have to be torn down when you're just a little shack now. And it hurts sometimes when He's pruning you and redecorating you to be a mansion. And sometimes the windows have to be broken out and sometimes sealed up. And there's all kinds of different repairs that the Lord has to do, and enlargements. He wants you to enlarge your heart, to pray for not just yourself, but for others as well. He wants you to be unblameable in holiness. And that's 1 Thessalonians. You can't be unblameable unless you are in holiness. Now, as I mentioned before, holiness is laying before the Lord. It's like climbing the ladder to the kingdom of God, where the Lord's temple is, and lay there before Him, so that you can always be associating with His holiness and His power. That's 1 Thessalonians 3:10. And then also verses 12 through 13. Then he states, Paul, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly, or entirely, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And then another where Paul states, quote, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work, unquote. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Then again, Paul states, without ceasing, I make mention of you. This is so good. I make mention of you, not me, but you always in my prayers. How many people do you make mention of? Do you make mention for the world to be saved, that all the people whose names eventually will be in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you praying for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem? Are you praying for all these different countries that are being taken over by the Vatican in the name of democracy? Without ceasing, I make mention of you. I always pray. I'm always praying. I pray always. I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, plural, impart unto you some spiritual gift. Some spiritual gift. Oh, Father God, give the people in my church spiritual gifts. Give them spiritual gifts to the end, or in other words, that they may be established as people of the Lord. People, when you're talking to them about the Lord, they want to know that you're really established in the Lord, because they don't want to talk to somebody that doesn't they can't feel the Spirit talking through them. That's Romans 1:9 through 11. Then he said this by the Holy Spirit, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. See, he's not praying for himself. Amen. He's praying for Israel, is that they might be saved. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that a good heart?
Amen.
It's a good prayer. Amen. Unquote. Romans 10:1. Then he said, I cease not making mention of you in my prayers. That God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. He's praying for the people of the church that God will give them the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is wisdom. To give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, Christ, that is, that ye may know, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward. We have to know how great His power is to us if we're doing what He says. Now, many of you have never experienced the knowledge of all His power toward us, but it comes to those who believe in His power. It says, exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, unquote, and that's Ephesians 1:15 through 19. Then Paul said, quote, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, that He would grant you, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. He's praying for these things for people to have. In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, inside of your hearts, by faith in His word. That ye being rooted, in love, might be filled with all the fullness of God. So he's praying that you become, have all the fullness of God, so that you have the fullness of the stature of Christ. Can you imagine what would happen if everybody believed everything that the Lord said? How much power you would have, and it's for sure that God would not leave that dormant. He would use you. He'll use anybody that He can work in like that and work through like that. That's Ephesians 3:14 and also verse 16 and 17 and then verse 19. Then Paul stated, quote, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, I pray that your love may abound. Love is the keeping of God's commandments, that your love may abound yet more and more, that ye may be sincere, filled with the fruit of righteousness, unquote. That's Philippians 1:4, and then also verses 9 through 11. Then Paul said, quote, but my God shall supply all your need. That's all your needs. Have you got needs in your life? Well, do the things that I'm preaching here and what Paul preaches, and God will, you won't have any needs, amen, because the Lord says that He'll supply all, A-L-L, every one of your needs, amen?
Amen.
And you'll have so much that you won't be able to contain them all. You have to build bigger buildings to put them in. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Then Paul said, quote, we do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Paul stated also, quote, I would that you know what great conflict I have for you. As many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, which is the keeping of God's commandments. So that's love, to keep God's commandments. Colossians 2, verses 1 and 2. When we go into the prayer room, we must take these scriptures with us. It's really good to do that, because by that study of that which is in you, the prayer that is in you, the spirit that is in you, these passages will teach you the necessity of unceasing prayer, which formed a large part of Paul's ministry in the gospel. You'll be able to see how high spiritual aim that he set before himself. You have to aim how high you want to go in the Lord. And the higher you aim, the more he loves you. And you don't have to say, well, I want to be a pastor or a preacher, teacher, or prophet. Just aim to be near him and to soak in his holiness and to his power by the throne. And he'll designate the level that you're to be in. I never wanted to be a pastor. Never at all. I just concentrated on serving the Lord, and that was it. Then all of a sudden, lo and behold, I'm a pastor and a prophet, because God has told me many things that have come to pass, and that doesn't mean that I'm any better so far as people are concerned outside of the Lord. But it does mean that when the Lord tells me something, I'll pass it on to all of you out there in Radio Land. Or I'll write it in one of my pieces of literature and get it to you so that you're able to know that the things that I'm saying are of the Lord and that they will come to pass if I tell you. So aim high to be close to the Lord, that he set before himself in the Lord's work. That's what Paul did. He set himself high in the Lord's work on behalf of believers. He did it because he wanted people to believe the truth. He wasn't selfish and thankless, but he loved to tell people the truth. He loved to tell the story. He loved to tell the things that the Lord told him, because that believers would have more faith and would be more stable in their walk in this world towards the Lord. And the tender self-sacrificing of him, keeping he kept God's commandments, which is the love with which he always continued to think of. He thought only of the church and the sinners in the world. I thought of the things that the Lord put in his thoughts. This is what the Lord thought of. And the church's needs. We need to ask God to bring everyone of those of us and all the ministers of the gospel that minister God's word to a life of which such prayer is the Holy Spirit work. The healthy and natural outflow of the Holy Spirit is what it is. We need to turn again and again to these scriptures if we would really be brought by the Holy Spirit to the apostle-type lifestyle that God has given us as an example. The Apostle Paul was a minister who asked his congregation to pray on much. The Apostle Paul said, quote, "I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." You're supposed to pray for the pastor, for the ministers, "that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea." Unquote. Romans 15, verses 30 and 31. Then Paul said, quote, "We trust in God that he will yet deliver us, ye also, helping together by prayer for us," pray for us, in other words, unquote. We who minister the word of God, 2 Corinthians 1:9 through 11, quote, "praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Look at all the things that we can be praying for. Amen?
Amen.
Some people say, "Lord, bless Mom and bless Dad and Junior and Sissy and all these, you know, few people in their immediate family." Well, isn't that selfish?
Yes.
Look at this. Pray for all the saints. Amen?
Amen.
Pray for the pastors, the preachers, the teachers, the helpers. "And for me," Paul stated, "that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Ephesians 6:18-20. Then the Apostle Paul states, quote, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." You know, his salvation through our prayer. Yes, if you pray for the saints, the prophets, the preachers, the teachers, the apostles, that will turn to your salvation. Don't you want to be saved?
Yes.
Amen. Well, then pray. Amen. And I beseech you to pray for me as well. To my salvation through your prayers and the supplication of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:19. Then he said, quote, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying, also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak as I ought to speak," unquote, Colossians 4:2-4. Quote, "Finally," Paul says, "brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." 1 Thessalonians 3:1. These are deep insights that the Apostle Paul had as to the unity of the body of Christ. Now, all these people in the Word are saying, we must unify. We've got to join together. And here Paul is saying that Christians must do that. He's not talking about we need to unify with all the religions. That's the farthest thing from what the Bible says. God says to separate yourself from those people, the false prophets, but unify in the body of Christ. They're not the body of Christ. That's what God sent us for, is to call them into the body of Christ, but they're not there yet. And the relationship of the members of the body of Christ, one to another, it is as we permit the Holy Spirit to work powerfully in us that he will reveal this truth to us. In other words, he's saying, We have to permit the Holy Spirit. We have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit work powerfully in us, that he will reveal this truth to us, and we too will have this insight, as Paul did. What a tremendous insight to Paul, who gives us of the power of spiritual life among these Christians by the way in which he reckoned that at Rome and Corinth and Ephesus and Colossae and Philippi, there were men and women on whom he could rely for prayer for him. He wasn't talking to a bunch of people that had deaf ears. He knew that he had certain people in Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, Colossae, and Philippi that would definitely, that he could rely on them for praying for him, who would reach, and he knew that they would reach heaven and help Paul with power, to have power with God. This is to a testimony who unto all ministers that would lead other ministers to inquire if they truly appreciate the unity of the body of Christ the way it's supposed to be at its value, the proper value. If they are endeavoring to train up Christians as intercessors, and if they indeed understand that Paul had the confidence because he was himself so strong in prayer for the congregation, and it's helped us even to this day. We need to learn these things from Paul and pray to God that all the ministers and the entire congregation together may grow in the power of prayer, so that their entire ministers and their ministries, everything they do, all the service and Christian life, may witness that the spirit of prayer rules them. We have to be ruled by that spirit. We must be ruled by the Holy Spirit. We can't be unruly to the Holy Spirit and go to heaven. Then we may be confident that God will avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him. You know, there's a lot of people that are attacking Christians in this world, and we need God to avenge for us. We are the elect who cry out day and night to him. That's Luke 18:7. We see so much betrayal in these last days. Congregations that have been fed, led to the Lord, led to the fullness of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then houses are built for them, and they've been fed and clothed, and schools are built for their children, and the birth of their children is paid for, and the clothing for them, everything is provided for them by people who pray constantly before the Lord. And you see these people rise up because of something in their lives that offends them, or something that gets into them from Satan. They want to go back into the world and tread the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot. He enters into their hearts as he did with Judas. That's what Satan does. I'm reading from the, I'm going to be reading tomorrow from the 16th chapter of Numbers, which talks about when Israel rebelled against Moses and Aaron. You know, here were the two leaders, and a lot of people in his congregation, there were about 3 million of them, They started thinking that they were as powerful as Moses, or that they had been anointed for the ministry like Moses was and Aaron. But the Lord, Dathan was one of them, and he had a cohort. What God did is he told Moses to tell him, you know, I'm going to kill these people in a different way than people have ever been killed before. And he says he's going to open the earth and swallow them into the earth, and he did. All their children, their pots and pans, their tents, their notebooks and pens or papers or whatever they had, their cans of soup and everything went in there. And then the rest of them that rebelled and thought that they were going to take the censers of the Lord and approach and become, approach the temple and do the things that only the people that have been chosen by the Lord are supposed to do. And God burnt them up, thousands of them. And so don't think that just because you go to church. I remember when I got saved and God showed me my wife Sue, there were millions of questions that came out of my heart in a vision. And there was a pipe, that pipe was going up to the Lord. And there was a pipe coming down that was pouring millions and millions of answers so fast into my heart that I wasn't able to understand any of what I was saying. To what the questions were coming out of my heart or what was the answers that were coming back in. But I'm fully loaded with the answers, okay? And nobody that I know in this world has ever been anointed like that in advance. The Lord had to do a fast work in these last days, and he did it to me, and you better listen to me, okay? For your own good, you know, it's not going to do me any good. I'm already saved. But right now I see that my time is up, and make sure you tune in tomorrow so that you can hear this message from the 16th chapter of Numbers. And till then, let's get up to the throne and ask the Lord to get into your hearts. Okay? God even turned Miriam, Moses' sister, into leprosy, white as snow, because she came up against Moses and the woman, one of the women that he was married to. Moses had three wives. And so I can't help that. The Bible says that. And so you people better believe that we're saved by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so those of you that don't know the Lord and you'd like to know him for sure this evening, just say this prayer. And he'll enter into you by the Spirit and wash all your sins away by his blood, by faith. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord, as Sharon tells you four different ways that you can receive a CD or audio tape of program number 295.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, and so until tomorrow, for a power pack message and some entries that the Lord will give me, I'm sure, as he always does. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Okay, God bless you and praise the Lord. And here's HP, a Life Choir, singing a Life Prayer Song. Thank you.